We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ron, just a quick note here before we get to some Andy Weidel talk here with Dave Spadaro from Eagles.com. Yarmir Yager writes on Instagram that he escaped injury, but, quote, thought it was my end. He was involved in a car accident with a tram in his native Czech Republic, and that sounds scary. So thank goodness that he's okay.
How old? He's 50 now, isn't he? I was going to say 50.
50 years old, escaped injury, and said no one else was harmed.
Boy, does that make
during
me,
the collision.
Does that make me feel old? Him 50. I remember when he was a kid coming over.
18.
Here. Couldn't when he speak came over the language. Here. I took him somewhere. I don't
what?
Know. I took him from practice to his apartment or somewhere. I can't remember where. I was doing a story on him, and I don't know if I had the translator with me. He was in my car at some point.
Wow.
And I can't remember where we were going.
Let's try to jog your memory on that one. In the meantime, let's go to the Nemecolon fan hotline where we do find Dave Spadaro from Eagles.com. His Twitter handle tells you everything you need to know, Eagles Insider. Dave, we appreciate you joining us. How are you today?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks so much for having me. And looking forward to talking about one of my favorite guys, Andy Weidel.
Let's do that, because this seems to be an unusual setup here. Not a lot of teams hire the money guy as the lead guy, and the Steelers appear to have done that here with Omar Khan. And then the personnel guy would be Andy Weidel. So tell us sort of exactly what his role was there, how it may have changed over the years, and maybe how most people perceive him to have done at his job.
Yeah, I mean, I think Andy's in his career has worked his way up the scouting ladder, personnel department ladder. And I mean, he's kind of the quintessential football guy. And in Philadelphia, his role was to be that right-hand man to Howie Roseman. And he did a very good job here. And we believe in the fundamental principles of football. He's got a very astute eye for the game. He's a grinder. He loves it. He's a former player at Villanova, Pittsburgh guy, as you know. So, I mean, Andy is just, there's a meat and potatoes element to Andy Weidel. And I think that plays very well for a team looking for the football. If you say that's the setup, if he's the football guy, there aren't many better than Andy Weidel that I've ever come across. And so a big loss for the Eagles, but for the Steelers and for Andy, a new opportunity and a great one.
You know, he was interviewing for GM jobs, correct? He has to know,
yeah.
But even if he takes the title assistant GM, I'm assuming he took this job because he knows he was going to have a big-time say in the personnel. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. And, I mean, look, it's generally collaborative in most organizations, but there is a final say. Now, I don't know how it's going to work in Pittsburgh, but Andy did not have the final say in Philadelphia. And if he has the opportunity to be that in Pittsburgh, I mean, that's what everybody wants, right? That's what every football scout, personnel evaluator wants, is to have the final say. So, again, if that's what his role is with the Steelers, then Andy will be the happiest guy in the world. I mean, the Eagles have been a team. I've been here my entire life. And, you know, for the most part, Jeffrey Lurie's teams have been pretty good. And a lot of playoff appearances in his 20-plus years here as the owner. Win the Super Bowl in 17, playoffs 18, 19. And to me, then 20 is a bad season, and Doug Peterson loses his job. And to me, every team in the league goes through a down cycle. And you really find out what kind of organization you have by judging by how quickly they come out of that down cycle. And the Eagles came right out of the down cycle. New coach in 2021. They reached the playoffs. They stock up on draft picks. You know, they've had on paper, a really strong offseason. So the Eagles are right back in the game in the NFC and in the NFC East. And I think that's – and Andy was a big part of that. And he understands, look, this football team has lost a lot of personnel people through the years. Andrew Berry going to Cleveland to be the GM, and Brandon Brown going to be the assistant GM with the Giants, and Ian Cunningham going to the Bears to be the assistant GM. Now Andy leaving, Catherine Raich going to Cleveland as well. So there's a lot of loss here, and I think what's happening is teams in the league are going, hey, the Eagles are doing something right here, and let's get a chance, let's talk to these people, let's see what makes them tick. And clearly the Steelers like what they heard from Andy.
Dave Spadaro from Eagles.com. So, Dave, we know in Baltimore, I know it's always hard to tell, like, who pushed for which pick and how mm-hmm. much responsibility does a guy have for a good or bad pick. But we know in Baltimore that Andy pushed hard for a guy like Haloti Ngata. And I'm wondering if there were any people, good or bad picks, that he was especially associated with in Philly. And how much of an influence did he have on that Super Bowl team?
Yeah, I mean, he certainly had a big influence on the Super Bowl team and a lot of the free agent acquisitions that were so important for the Eagles that year, whether it was Torrey Smith or Chris Long or Patrick Robinson, et cetera. I can't specifically speak to a draft pick that he had, but I can tell you that the conversations that we had, for example, after this draft and kind of going to Andy to talk about why did we trade up to get Jordan Davis and why did the team make the trade for A.J. Brown and N'Kobe Dean in round three, and why Cam Jurgens, a center, in round two when the Eagles already have Jason Kelce. And he was spot on with what the philosophy was and what his belief was in those players. And what he's looking for always are really physical, violent players who have versatility and have a lot of football IQ and who love playing the game. So, I mean, that's what you're going to get in Pittsburgh. You're going to get somebody who believes in building the line of scrimmage first, getting your quarterback, of course, building your line of scrimmage, and then you know, filling in around the quarterback and the line of scrimmage. And so I know that's kind of what the Steelers are looking to rebuild with Ben Roethlisberger gone and a new era at quarterback and building around your first-round pick. And Andy is a great eye for talent, very aggressive, has learned here that there are a lot of different ways to build a roster, trades and being creative and going to the waiver wire and all of that. And he was involved in all that, but I can't specifically say because, you know, to give Andy that credit, I mean, I really would have to have really airtight examples, and I don't have them right now. Just not that he wasn't involved,
right?
Because this is extremely collaborative, and that Howie Roseman is the one who has the last say.
Right, and the same thing here. I mean, it's often hard to tell, okay, who exactly was the major influence on that pick, and then I'm sure that people talk a lot about one that didn't go so well. Even though Devontae Smith is a good player, the whole Micah Parsons situation seemed to really backfire there when your division rival with your original pick gets a player like that. And I'm sure that Howie has taken the heat for that one. Yes.
Well, it's actually interesting because, well, first of all, let's give it a couple of years here before we know for sure. But I mean, Devontae Smith is a wide receiver one kind of player. So the Eagles have restocked really well defensively. I mean, that's what's so interesting about it. Yeah, on the surface, Micah Parsons had a terrific season last year. Led the Cowboys to the division title. They lost in the first round of the playoffs. Their defense gave up a lot of big plays. But Micah Parsons is a great player. I think the Eagles look at it like, hey, Micah's a great player. Devontae's a great player. The Eagles rebuilt the linebacker core in this offseason. So there's a lot of different ways to skin the cat and it takes some time to do so. And look, I think I don't think Howie's taking a lot of heat, honestly, because this town has, see, in Pittsburgh, you guys have wide receivers, and they're just, you just keep developing and developing. Philadelphia has not had that success, and so now with AJ Brown and Devontae Smith, they finally feel really good about their one receivers, their starters on the outside.
You mentioned Andy as a Pittsburgh guy. You had another Pittsburgh guy there, Tom Donahoe. Not being brought back. What was Tom's role there, and what happened to him at the end?
Yeah, I think he was a senior executive who's been around the league for 1,000 years and offers a great deal of perspective, mostly on the college side. And, you know, look, I think the Eagles, I don't know what Tom's plans are, if he's going to continue to work in the league, but I think that, you know, it's just time for a change, and Howie's got some younger people who he really, really believes in that he wants to promote. You know, the Eagles are in a situation now where they've got to promote people or they're going to lose them. And so I think that's kind of what Howie's stuck with right now. Not stuck with, but the challenge that he faces. He's losing a lot of these people to promotion. So I think in the instance of Tom, there were just some other people that Howie felt really good about, and it was just time to give those people the opportunity to grow into that role.
Do you know at all, or was there stories to the effect of why the Eagles moved on from Andy's brother, Casey, who I guess was the director of scouting operations, Dave?
Yeah, there's people that have worked in that. I think Casey was coming into his last season, and Howie feels really good about some people who are rising through the organization and wants to promote them and give them a chance and hopefully keep them around for a while. And look, I love Casey, and hopefully he makes his way to Pittsburgh and stays in the league and does a great job for the Steelers.
Lastly, and we appreciate the time, Dave, I've read and heard where, and this is interesting to me because Mike Tomlin's going to have a lot of influence, already has tons of influence, and who knows, when you get to a certain pick, people need to make their voices heard. And from what I've heard and read, Andy is not afraid to do that. He's extremely passionate and will stand up for his guy and is just overall generally a very passionate football guy. Yes?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think that's the way everybody – look, the job that they do, it's insane. I mean, the amount of hours that they work and the way that they grind through it, and I think Andy's been encouraged to be open – with his opinions, and he certainly is respected with those opinions. So he will absolutely stand up in a respectful manner and pound the table for somebody that he believes in. And if the Steelers are wise, they will listen to Andy Weidel.
Good stuff. We appreciate the time.
Thank
Dave.
You.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
He's a believer, isn't he?
At Eagles Insider, Dave Spadaro. That's how you can find him on Twitter. If the Steelers are smart, they'll listen to Andy Weidel.
He's a believer.
Can we talk about that for a little while, Ron?
Sure.
About this setup and how interesting it is?
It is very interesting. Don't know 100% if it's going to work. Certainly don't know that it won't work, but it is different.
It's different. In some ways, it's very much the Steelers' way. Long-time apprentice, promote from within. And then in some ways...
And even Waddle was with the Steelers, too.
Hire the Pittsburgh guy, Tom Donahoe, Kevin Colbert, Andy Weidel.
Right down the line.
And in some ways, it's not the Steeler way to have the big guy, the man in charge, be a money guy, a capologist, a non-football guy. That's different than Colbert, and that's different from Donahoe. Thoughts, Matty?
Well, I just want to know if it's an even split. Like, even though Omar Khan is technically the GM... and Andy Weidel is the assistant GM, how much is it really he's the guy in charge and here's the assistant? If they've got two completely different roles, where Khan is still the money guy and Andy Weidel's the football guy, then it seems like an even split, and we're talking about assistant GM and GM, but those things don't even matter, really.
Well, this is the first time I think they've had an assistant GM,
I can't remember one.
Not by title.
You know, what about co-general managers?
That almost seems what it's like. Yeah.
But this is what it seemed like it was going to be with Omar and Brandon Hunt.
Right.
Right? Oh, they're going to keep both those guys. One's the personnel guy. One's the cap guy. Well, they kept the cap guy, and now they brought in another football guy. I think it has a chance.
And what becomes of Brandon Hunt?
He's probably going to take another job. Some speculation. I've seen he could end up in Philly.
Taking Weidel's job.
I wouldn't be surprised by that at all.
And maybe Weidel brings his brother Casey here, the guy who the Eagles fired after the season. I can't imagine. It seemed like the writing was on the wall for Andy to move on after they fire your brother. Right?
Although, according to Aditi, they're bringing in Sheldon White, who was from the Detroit Lions, who's the father of Cody White, the receiver.
I don't know much about him.
I don't either.
Me either.
The Lions isn't a great thing to have on one's resume unless you're into biting kneecaps. But for all I know, he was their best guy.
That's where Kevin Colbert came from.
Yeah, that's true,
right?
Too. Although it was a little different, it felt like.
They stink forever, Joe.
Yeah, but they had Billy Sims.
Barry Sanders. They stink.
Well, yes, they do. But I think it might have been different with Colbert coming from them then. Well,
Colbert
than this
had
guy
Pittsburgh
now.
Background here, too.
Yeah.
Went to, what, Duquesne? No, Robert Morris.
This can work. I'm open to it. But again, my overriding point here is I'm not going to go overboard like a lot of people it would appear, judging from social media reaction around the league. The Steelers did it again. Oh, stability, the Steeler way, an example for the rest of the league. I want to see how it plays out. I'm not going to openly laud this just because it was Art Rooney II and the Steelers who did it. I'm not.
And a familiar name being promoted from within.
That's what I mean. Yeah. In that respect, that promote from within, stability is the word I keep coming back to.
That's what they've always believed in. Somehow to have a tie to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You know? Either from here, went to school here, worked for Blesto back in the day, Dick Haley did that. Guys, it just seems like there's always some sort of Pittsburgh tie.
Weidel didn't have the final say in Philly, and he's not going to have it here. Until someone can prove to me that the Steelers have changed from giving their coach the final say on draft picks, I'm not going to believe that.
Yeah,
that's
I don't
changed.
Think Omar Khan's going to have it either.
No, Mike Tomlin will.
Right, and he will be the face of the franchise. Is and will be.
I'm open to it. We'll see how it works out. Things haven't worked out, I would say, great for the Steelers for a while now. Sometimes good, but not great, man. When you have 3 playoff wins in 11 years, none in 5, and you've had some pretty disastrous drafts of late, I'm talking 16, 18, and potentially 19, there's a lot of organizations who've done worse. I'll grant you that, but I'm not going to just celebrate this promotion and hiring, this dual GM thing, just because it's the Steelers. What are you optimistic it can work, Ron?
Yeah, I'm optimistic that it can, but I'm with you. I would like to know from Art, and I'm assuming they got to have a press conference introducing these guys, how he sees the role of the division of labor.
We have Bruce Arians coming up here. Hopefully.
Looking forward to that.
At 1 o'clock. Should be very interesting. But up next, would love to get your thoughts on what's happening atop the Steelers food chain here. 412-928-9370. That's 928-9370. And also, what about the Deontay Johnson situation? Let's talk about that coming up next. In theory, Johnson wasn't there yesterday. I wonder if he's there today in theory, Ron.
Haven't seen anything yet moving on the Twitter account about anything. Should be opening up the locker room pretty soon.
You know,
probably get some new comments from different people.
Yes, and TJ Watt I meant to get to as well. I thought Cabali had a good story today on whether Watt has any thoughts about the sack that wasn't in that game last year that cost him the all-time record to himself anyway and his goals for this season. We'll talk about it coming up.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Da, 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 da. You like the comeback music, or should we change it with Folsy here?
I think we should change it.
Yeah, I think it's a
Something
good time to change it.
Freshen it up. Now, we got my song of the day. I've already informed Folsy back there of my song of the day. It's coming up.
We should collaborate on the rejoins that they are
okay.
Officially called.
Let's have a rejoin party.
We should.
We'll each pick like 10.
Yeah.
Now, that one's okay.
I like that one.
Sounds like, I don't know, some sort of detective show or something, you know? Maddie, I just got a tweet from a man who calls himself John. Calling Devin Bush and Deontay bad draft picks is incorrect, he said. Here's an article you can read that will inform you.
Well, also, first of all, who said Deontay was a bad draft choice?
Well, I'll get to that.
Okay.
Also, says John, perhaps you mean superstar or star in place of good. In your job, words matter. Would you like to hear my reply to John?
Sure. Ron?
Yes, words do matter. So listen better. I didn't call Deontay a bad draft pick.
No one has called him a bad draft choice.
In fact, he was a good draft choice. But if you move, here's my feeling, and I told him that too. If you move on from your first two picks before their second contracts and get nobody else in the same draft, Ron, I can't call that a good draft, especially when you've moved up to take the first guy.
Right.
I just can't. But Deontay, as things stand right now, he was a good pick.
I think he's an excellent pick. All the receivers in his draft class, he has numbers comparable to all of them.
And yet, you and others and me to a certain extent are down on him right now.
He did drop off noticeably last year, which was a problem.
So, yeah, the jury is still kind of out on that draft. So we'll see what happens. But the way it's trending, I don't think they're going to give Deontay the going rate upwards of, what, 18, 19, 20 million a year?
20 million a year? No, I don't. I don't.
So I don't think he's going to be back after this season. And I don't think Devin Bush is going to be back. The big clue being that they didn't pick up his fifth-year option, Ron. That's a big clue.
That is a very big clue, but it doesn't mean that
he might rebound.
He might rebound. Right, exactly.
I'm just talking about the way it's trending, and it was in the context of Omar Khan walking into a situation where a lot of people are praising the Steelers for doing things wonderfully and right all the time. And, well, when you look at three of their recent drafts, three really important drafts, they didn't really do it right.
They're hardly perfect.
I like the last one.
They're hardly perfect. And, you know,
Well, there's a long ways between perfect and complete failures. Unfortunately, they've been around to see.
Exactly. They're certainly not close to a failure, but not close to the A either.
This last one I like. I like this last draft. But let me get to something else here. Well, did you want to weigh in on Deontay? And him theoretically missing the first day of OTAs.
I wrote about that today, and I mean, he could have shown up today for all I know, or next week. It just would have been nice if he'd have been there with the new quarterbacks and a new offense. That's my only point. I felt.
This and you're sure he wasn't there?
That's what I've been told.
Yes, we've all been told that.
That I felt better about Tuitt now than I did before things started after listening to Cam yesterday. And I just wish that Deontay would have been there only because of the new quarterbacks and the new offense.
Do you think this lasts? Do you think he's trying to send a message?
I think those are two different questions. Do I think that he's trying to send a message? Maybe. But do I think he'll be there like mandatory minicamp? Yes, I do. Do I think he'll hold out during the season? No, I don't. So trying to send a message by staying away the first day? Maybe.
You think he's here today?
I don't know. I haven't even said. I'm guessing probably not. I don't know that, you know, if he comes in the first week. Maybe. Be nice if he did just to get to work with the new offense. Because we both agree, right, that, you know, this Canada offense should be different than what it was last year because now he doesn't have to, you know, bend, so to speak, handcuffing him if that's indeed what happened.
I think he should be there. I'm sorry. You're learning what is an entirely new offense.
And that's
what it is because Ben's not there. And new quarterbacks. So you have to develop some kind of rapport, and I think every rep counts. I really do.
I do too.
I think he should be there. And I realize it's voluntary. I do. I don't know if he's going to show up today. If he doesn't show up for this whole thing, I'm at least going to wonder about mandatory. You have to wonder.
Yeah. I mean, then they could fine him if he doesn't show. I don't know that they would do that. But, I mean, they've had guys miss these OTAs before, you know, as long as he's working somewhere. But I'm with you 100%. It's a new offense with new quarterbacks. I would like him, from the team standpoint, to be there.
Is he entitled to a hold-in, a T.J. Watt-style hold-in?
Not for me.
Why?
Not for me.
I tend to agree with you, but I want to hear
where
why.
Where do you draw that line?
Good question, once you let someone do it. Is Minkah entitled to one?
More than Deontay is.
Hasn't Deontay been relative to his position compared to his draft class right up there with Minkah?
I think Minkah has been more valuable and had better play than Deontay Johnson has. That's just my opinion. Maybe he shouldn't get the T.J. Watt treatment either because T.J. Watt obviously just tied the record for sacks. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame bound player at this point of his career.
If you were Minkah or Deontay, would you think based on T.J. getting that you were entitled to a hold-in?
Maybe, but I don't know that I would be so shocked if the team didn't feel that way.
Or, I mean, maybe to twist that around because I'm thinking out loud here too, was that actually a trend-setting move by the Steelers? That's actually a smart thing to do when you have a sensitive, high-level contract negotiation. Minkah might be the highest-paid player in the league. And Deontay just...
Highest-paid safety.
Safety, yeah. And Deontay, just based on his position and his production, we can argue about whether he tailed off. He did at the end of last season. We can talk about drops and things like that. His production's been there compared to anybody from his draft class. Deebo Samuel, other guys who are really good in the league, his is up there. A.J. Brown, whoever.
Well, even his numbers last year with everybody, I think his catches were fifth in the league and yards 10th in the league.
Right. What was T.J. Watt's contract per year?
What was it? I'd have to look.
You know offhand, Folesy?
It was.
I don't. Let me look it up real quick.
You know, like 26, something like that, right?
Oh, really?
I think
it was that high per year? Okay.
It was like 80-some guaranteed.
Nevertheless, from Deontay's perspective, he's looking, I would imagine, for a contract between 18 and 20 million a year.
I think that would be absolutely fair for what he's looking for.
So do you,
now, I don't know that the team is going to.
No. I know that, but I'm talking in the context of who's entitled to a hold in and who's not, and is it based on the amount of money we're potentially talking about?
I just think T.J. Watt is an absolute star, and both Minkah and even a little more Deontay Johnson are down that list a little bit.
So do I. So where do you draw the line? One time only hold in?
Probably.
Do you not think it has its merits?
Right. You know, it kept him healthy, Watt, but then he also pulled hamstring, the second or third week, even though he was terrific the first week. So I don't know. I can't figure that stuff out. Did he get hurt with a hamstring because he didn't practice? Or was he fresher and able to go? He was great at Buffalo, if you remember.
You prevent, I think, the story from developing that here's a guy who's very unhappy. Here's a guy who's not coming to camp. I think you prevent that with a hold-in. You do keep a guy healthy, and you keep him involved in reps.
And he's around, and he's learning the defense, yeah.
I'm not sure it's the worst thing in the world to have a guy come in
but
like
you
that.
Just there has to be some sort of line. Now I'm pointing like my pen like Mike Tomlin did yesterday.
If you're not there's really good, you can't have a hold in.
There's some sort of line there.
Yeah, if you're not a pro bowler, you can't have a hold in.
Right.
And Deontay could make an argument that has he ever been?
He went last year.
Okay.
He wasn't originally picked, but you know how that is. 82 guys drop out and then he was picked.
If you've ever been a pro bowler, I don't know what the rule would be, Ron. If you're a good player.
About first team all pro. Minka has been a first team all pro.
Okay.
TJ Watt has been a first team all pro. Deontay has not been a first team.
But then you could get into the argument of a guy saying, I should have been first team all pro, so why can't I have a hold in?
I should have been a movie star, but it didn't work out.
I think it has its merits.
Me being a movie star?
You already are. You're Sean Connery in his later years. Rob.
I'm a rock star. People on the golf course told you that yesterday, right?
They wanted to know about my relationship with you, whether you were as friendly as you seem.
I'm very friendly.
They wanted to see you. They wanted to see Doran Dickerson out at the course. They wanted to play around with me and him. I had two guys in their 80s drive up to me on their golf cart. They've been playing Mount Lebanon for 40 years. 40 years in a golf league. And they were very eager to meet me, and they were, I think, kind of hoping to meet Doran. Really.
You're a legend, Joe. I keep telling you that. You're so humble.
I am humble, aren't I, Ron?
You're a humble man.
When people brag about being humble, that's very ironic, is it not?
It's ironic.
It's called a humble brag.
A humble brag. All right. I want to tell you finally about, speaking of TJ Watt, what Cabali had to say, and I promise I'm going to deliver on that tease next. Does he still think about the sack that wasn't? Was it against the Ravens? It was in that final game.
Last game.
Where he had a chance to set the record. Let's talk about that. Coming up next on Cook and Joe, Bruce Arians supposed to call in at the top of the hour. What an interesting conversation that could be. Would you like to ask me if Deontay Johnson is at OTAs today? Why don't you go ahead and ask me that question?
Deontay at OTAs today?
It's voluntary.
Okay, there you go. They are voluntary. That tells me he's not there.
Well, let's just say theoretically he's not there again today.
Right.
What do you draw of that, from that, with that, by that?
Just that I wish he would be there for the team's sake.
See, to me, he's clearly making, you don't think he's clearly making a statement here by being the only guy on offense not to be there?
I'm sure he's probably making a statement. I don't know.
Theoretically?
I don't know that it's a real big deal yet. They still have one more day tomorrow, three next week, three the week after, and then they have the 3 days of mandatory minicamp. I will be more concerned if he doesn't show up for that, but I wish he was here working with the new quarterbacks and the new, theoretically new offensive coordinator.
Sure, but on a separate note, he's, I think, very clearly letting them know that he's not pleased.
Right. I think that's fair. Deebo Samuel didn't show up in San Francisco, right?
And we know he's not pleased.
And we know he's not pleased. Although I saw somewhere said there was a little bit of a warming between those two sides.
Really?
That's what I thought I saw.
So let's look at that draft. Let's look at some of the players from that draft. And a number of them, the wide receiver market has exploded. That's indisputable. We have, I'm looking at the wrong draft now. We have Deebo Samuel. We have A.J. Brown. We have others from that draft who have put up pretty big numbers. And it seems like almost, not that it's been orchestrated, but almost as a group, all those guys, as they head into their contract years and things like that, are saying, what about me? You have Hollywood Brown, okay?
Yep.
Deebo Samuel.
Yep.
A.J. Brown.
Yep.
DK Metcalf,
yep, and Terry,
Deontay Johnson, and Terry McLaurin.
And I got the numbers here for you, Joe. In the 3 years, Deontay's 254 catches rank first.
Yes, they do.
Among that group, and his 2,764 receiving yards and 20 touchdowns rank fourth.
Right.
So he's been very productive. And even last year, his numbers 107 catches, tied for fifth most in the league, not of his class, overall, and his 1,161 receiving yards ranked 10th.
So why not give him the going rate?
Because I saw him fall off a little bit at the end of last year at a time when they really needed him.
And could you easily argue that, like, when people said Najee or Ben, that they were victims of bad offensive line play and bad scheme, that Deontay would have been too?
Not as much, no, because I saw him run wrong patterns and I saw him drop the ball. Najee, I didn't see any room for him to run. A lot of times Ben had no time to pass. I think those two were affected a lot more than the wide receivers were.
To a certain extent, but if Ben has no time to pass,
that's part
that
of
tells
it.
Me
that's
what Chris Sims said on Pro Football Talk, which is that Deontay could be an entirely different player in an offense where the ball wasn't released in 2 seconds every
that's
time.
That's true.
I don't know, but I'm in total agreement with you that something bothered me about the way his season finished. You know, it was 30 yards, 40 yards, maybe 50 over the last six games or so. And then
he
a playoff game where it felt like he was not there, like mentally. What was he doing? He also had a fumble in the first Chiefs game.
Where
in
he wasn't
Kansas
even
City.
Touched, right?
He led the league, did he not, in wide receiver penalties,
yes,
things like that.
Yes, he did.
With him and Claypool, I feel like, and we've said
there
this
should
before,
be so much more.
They can both make a lot of money, do exactly as they are. But do they want to be great? Because they both could be.
Yep,
instead of good to very good.
I agree with that totally. And Claypool as well. Now, Claypool's there yesterday and today. I saw him in the video the Steelers actually sent out.
Deontay Johnson is telling the Steelers, pay me, unless I hear of some other reason he's not there.
Maybe he has flight problems, like he missed his camp the other day.
Now a five-day delay.
His delay.
This is a statement, pay me. It's clear as day. And I wouldn't give him that kind of money either. I'd give him a contract, though. Would you give him a contract? What would you offer him right now?
You know, I would guess he'd probably want to start around 20, and I would say maybe 15, 16, something like that.
So you would give him a long-term contract this offseason?
Yeah, I would.
Even with the troubles from last year?
At my price, yes. Because I like to think he'll be like Claypool, and I like to think he'll mature even more. Still a young player.
Oh, no, Ron.
What's the matter?
I just got a message from the guy from the Joe Moore camp. Oh, no. It's just about how many people are signed up. I thought it was going to be a Bruce Arians cancellation.
Oh, is this the guy that's helped you getting
yes,
Bruce
he
Arians?
Yes, he is. Very nice man.
Supposedly getting Bruce at the top of the hour.
Yes, he is.
B.A.
Deontay has 1 year left here. He's
yes,
at
he
$3 million cap hit. So I'm with you. I'm with you. $15 million a year. Something like that. Now, if he wants that new money, then there's going to be a problem
isn't there something of a precedent here? They offered Mike Wallace a number. He turned it down. They said, okay, move on. And I think they're going to offer Deontay a sum, and it's up to him whether he accepts it or moves on.
The difference being they had a guy already in-house that they simply just gave Wallace's money to.
Well, maybe they think Claypool can be that guy.
Maybe.
Not that he's going to be as good as Antonio, but
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, but that happened like the next day in camp.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah, it did.
What a story that was. Oh, you don't want your money here. Next.
Right.
And Antonio walks in. It's like they literally gave him the check.
They might do that after this season
maybe.
For Claypool.
Yeah, they could. But he's, in my opinion, was more disappointing than Deontay last year.
Mine too.
All right, I promised you a million times here the Kabali story.
On TJ,
and he said that he doesn't worry about that play from last year that we all talked about. It's not that he can't bear to watch it, Kabali writes. It just doesn't interest him because he's much more concerned about his future than his past. Trust me, Watt says, more people bring that up to me than I ever think about it. I have a very short memory when it comes to things like that, and I'm definitely not satisfied. I'm trying to continue to grow and be one of the best who ever played this game.
He's got a shot to be among that group.
Mm-hmm.
What he has done so far, now he's had some injury problems last year, missed, three games, parts of a couple others. But, you know, as Marquise Pouncey once told me, we play a very physical game. We're 300-pound men banging into each other.
Yeah.
Are we not supposed to get hurt? But TJ's had some injuries. But I think he's on his way to the Hall of Fame so far. He's still got a lot more to do. But so far, my God, he has a sack record and first team all pros and a lot of other things. I think it was Bruce Smith. Isn't he the sack leader? You know, they didn't start keeping sacks way back when, but I think Bruce Smith said he's one guy he thinks has a chance to break it. I don't know that he's going to get that many, but it's interesting.
As Cabali reminds us, the games in which TJ left early or did not play last season, the Steelers went 0-4-1.
Yeah, the kneecap Campbell game.
Think about that for a second. With TJ Watt, did you think of them as a 12-win team?
No, I don't know that they would have won all those games, but you know, might have won another one
three
or
of
two.
Them?
Yeah,
three out of five.
Detroit,
that would be
instance.
Three out of five.
Not to tie the Detroit. He's a valuable player to them. That's why he was their MVP again.
And the reigning defensive player of the year. So we'll see what happens with Deontay moving forward. But this has now become the story of OTAs, correct?
He's not there again, yes.
And then I'll be very interested to see what becomes of the quarterback division of labor today and what happens there. I wonder. Will it be Trubisky first again today, Ron? And Mason second? Mason thinks he's going to get the job.
He does. I know the system. I know the players.
Coming up, Bruce Arians. I mean, where do we even start with him? The situation in Tampa, Tom Brady. Of course, we'll talk about his relationship with Joe Moore in the camp coming up.
How about his relationship with one Antonio Brown?
Situation? All of this is on the table with Bruce Arians.
Our Buccos are off to a rough start.
What's the score?
2-0 in the top of the second.
Two RBI single. Just missed. Ended up being a double.
There was a single, a double, and now another single. They're struggling. Two may be enough for Colorado the way the Buccos are hitting. Did you see Shelty in his explanation last night? He says, I don't have an answer for you guys. I don't know why we're not scoring runs.
I do.
I do. Your lineup stinks.
Right.
That's why you're not scoring runs. It's a pretty easy explanation, right?
That was the Charrington thing. Man, are we doing a great job with deployment of our players, who's in the lineup and who's not. Really? I mean, who else you have? They had five sub-200 hitters on Sunday.
That's why they're
they
not
somebody
scoring
else
runs.
Sub-100 hitters to choose
from? Lineup.
Having said that, Ron, I'm a very easy man to please. And honestly, give me more of Contreras, what we saw last night. A young kid who made an exciting play last night. Who knows where he goes? Cal Mitchell. Other guys who could get called up as the season moves along. That's what I'm watching.
Right.
That's what I want to see.
Who cares if they win or lose that game last night? There were a couple positive.
Contreras
one big
is
a, positive to take out.
He's a story. He is a story. I'm interested to see where that goes. And if it goes toward a number one starter type deal, then you start to say, well, maybe that makes up for the Keller disaster, such as it is right now. Bruce Arians, I truly hope, coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.